But the main topic, and I shared this with you once before, and on Wednesday night, we're also studying the book of Hebrews and looking at the temple structure, the tabernacle and temple structure, they're the same, and the structure of salvation and all that is there. And I want to keep impressing that upon us. God was trying to show his people that he was holy. He was trying to show them that he was different than the idols that they had worshipped. Idols, you could come in and do just about anything in front of them. It was common practice to do really bad things in front of idols to feed them and make them happy. God presents himself different. God is a holy God, and so he wants his people to understand his holiness. And one of the ways that he does that is through the tabernacle and how he presents the tabernacle. The tabernacle is not simply a building. It is the place of God's presence. And that is so important that, you know, it's like when we look at churches, you look at a church building. The church building in itself is not a holy space. The only thing that makes that space holy is what's inside of it, right? And if there's nothing inside of it, it's just another building. I was in Europe one time and I was in Amsterdam, and there's a big old church, and I walked inside to look at it, and they turned it into an art museum. And I asked the guy that was, taking money to go into the art museum, I said, "What kind of church was this?" And he looked at me with disdain, like, who cares about what this was? It's an art museum. And that was, so that one time edifice that, maybe was a church was no longer a church. It looked like a church on the outside, but on the inside, it wasn't. So I want to look at the tabernacle again. And this is the last couple of verses in Exodus. Moses went up on the mountain and God gave him all the instructions on how to build the tabernacle, piece by piece, every instrument, every artifact, and then, the construction of it. And he did that. He did exactly what God told him to do. He built the tabernacle, put it all in place. All the pieces were set in place. And then the cloud covered the tent of meeting. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses could not enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled upon it. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Here you have a visual. Again, one of the things I tell you about the Old Testament is very external. It's visual. God is showing the people, this is my tabernacle. So he does it by the cloud of the Lord coming on and enveloping the whole tent. Now, a lot of times, the Holy of Holies, the very backspace, was where the pillar of the Lord was, right? This time, it covered the entire space of the tent. And that has significance. The holy place in front of the Holy of Holies, that's like the dwelling place of God's people. That's where the priests served all the time. But the Holy of Holies, that was God's throne room and had the veil in between the two. And when they set this thing all the way up and they got it all finished, all the people of Israel would have seen the cloud of the Lord cover over that building to show again that this is not just a building. This is not just another space. This is not just another tent, but this is holy space. This is a space where the Lord himself was going to reside and be present with his people. Not that a temple or a tabernacle or even a church can hold the Lord, right? It said the heavens can't contain him. How much more would you guess that a house could hold the Lord? But God was saying, this is special. This is a place where you're going to come with me and you're going to meet with me here. It was holy. There were many times where the Lord showed himself to the people, mostly in Exodus. Mostly, he showed himself in this image of the cloud in the wilderness, like when they were crying out for food. And they, "Lord, we don't have any food." And he caused the manna to come down, so they had bread to eat. There was the cloud of the Lord appeared and spoke to Moses. Of course, on Mount Sinai, when the Lord spoke to them, there was the thunder and lightning and the smoke that covered the top of the mountain, right? And you know, from the cloud, it says the Lord called out to Moses to come and be with him. Here, the cloud was at the entrance of the temple. In 1 Kings, when Solomon, it disappears. You don't have this cloud image until 1 Kings, 400 years later. When Solomon dedicates the temple and he's praying over the temple, the same thing happens. The Lord comes and he settles over the temple and he says, "This is mine. This is my space. This is holy space." And he showed that he was present in the temple. So there's this understanding of it's not common space. You don't just go and approach it any old way you want to. It's not just furniture. Remember, the Ark of the Covenant was so special that in David's day, when Uriah reached out to study the Ark, it was on a cart, and he was afraid it was going to fall off, and he put his hand on it to stop it from tipping, and he died instantly. This is not just normal furniture. This is holy place, holy space, because the Lord ordained it, and the Lord was present in it, right? Now, the next thing that happens that I wanted to talk to you about is in Leviticus, where there's the ordination of the priests. So you also have this holy space, and then there's the ministry that's going to take place. And so what God does is he sets aside Levites and he sets aside Aaron's sons, right? And he's going to have them give all kinds of offerings. They gave sin offerings, and they gave burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. And what it says about Aaron in all of his service as he was giving all these offerings, it says that he gave every one of them according to the commands of the Lord, literally is what it says. He gave every one of those according to God's word, if you will. God had commanded him exactly how to go through every part of it. So you have this ceremony, again, a ceremony dictated by God, words that God gave them, ordinances that God gave them. We have them in the Word of God, right? And those ordinances were carried out to the letter by Aaron. And it said that, you know, then Moses and Aaron went into the tent of meeting, and they came out and they blessed the people, and the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. And fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed the burnt offerings and the fat portions on the altar. When the people saw it, they shouted for joy and fell face down. So here again, you know, this is a presence of God like they saw in Sinai, like they saw when the tabernacle was first erected. Here you have the ordination of the priests, and God is letting them know, I am in this. I am part of this. I am, you know, in the center of what is going on in this holy space. And as they come out to bless the people, the fire of the Lord hits that altar that's out in front of the tabernacle, and all the pieces left on the altar from the offerings, the sin offering, the burnt offering, the fellowship offering, everything that was left on that altar was flamed up by the fire of God. And the people saw God's presence. They saw His glory, and they were excited about it, and they all shouted for joy. You know, God is with us. God is there. God is, you know, part of what's going on in front of us and with us in this wilderness. You know, there was a real excitement about the presence of God. But what God was establishing for His people was that the temple of God is holy space, that the presence of God made it so. It wasn't Aaron and himself, and it wasn't, you know, the guys that were doing the ministry. It was God that made it holy. It was God that set it apart. It was God that made it so you don't just do what you want to do. You follow the ordinances, right? Unfortunately, Nadab and Abihu, two sons of Aaron, became an example to the people of respecting the holy space. These two, this is in Leviticus 10, and in verse 3 says, I will show myself holy in the sight of all the people, I will be honored. God calls us to worship, to follow, to bow before Him as He is, holy, perfect, righteous. One of the aspects of our walk with God is we have to understand the holiness of God. We have to understand that God is not you know, just, he's not your buddy. You don't just wrap your arm on his neck, hey, buddy, you know. He is still holy. He is still righteous. He still has a word. He still has a command. So here you have these two sons, the Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu. They took their censers and put fire in them and added incense, and they offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, contrary to his command. So the fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Here again, these whatever these guys did, there were rules about all the services that you conducted in the holy space of the tabernacle. And whatever these two guys, these were sons of Aaron, they were in line to be the next high priest. One of them, the older one, would have been. And so they go in to the tabernacle with a censer which held the incense and what have you, and they didn't do it according to the word of God. They didn't listen to what God said. They just casually went in their own way. And the Lord was, again, stating to them, I am holy. You cannot just come to me any way you want to. You can't just, you know, wander in my presence and say it's all going to be okay if you're doing it your own way. Chris was talking about, you know, across the street, how so many people today, they want to talk about all the different ways to get to God. You can use Muhammad, you can use Hinduism, you can use this, you can use that, you know. And God has made it clear that there is a way to enter into him. God has set the structures, he has set the paths. If I go back to this slide and you look at this, the path for getting into the presence of God, you must go through the altar of sacrifice. There is no other way to enter into God's holiness and God's presence unless there's a sacrifice. And now there's only one sacrifice, and that is, of course, Jesus Christ. And that's the only way to approach the throne of God. It's the only way to enter into his presence, for he is indeed holy. The book of Hebrews that we're looking at on Wednesday tells us that it's by the blood of Christ we're able to go all the way to the very back part of the tabernacle, to the very throne of God, because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Here are these two boys, Nadab and Abihu. They go in and they offer strange fire. They offer something that was not authorized. It was not according to the word of God. This is the problem. There's so many that are trying to make up their own words, make up their own ideas, make up their own, you know, we're trying to reinvent church and reinvent God to make him more cuddly, you know, to make him more on our terms. God, you'll be my buddy and you'll do what I want because we're friends. And you know, there's no sense of holiness. There's no sense of God and his presence. And this story doesn't fit a lot of the ideas that people have about God. But God is holy. He expects us to listen to his word. He expects us to obey his word. He expects us to follow him. And you know, he's saying to you, I'm opening the way, right? I'm making it possible for you to be with me. I'm making it possible for you to be in that holy space, but you have to do it on his terms, not on our terms. Now, one of the amazing things about the transformation from the Old Testament to the New is this sense of holiness, this sense of this holy space, the temple, the tabernacle. For 1,500 years, it was the temple and the tabernacle. It was a space that they tried to get Jesus interested in. The guys, you know, hey, look at all this beautiful stuff, right? But Jesus told us that that temple wasn't going to last, right? What did God do? God turned you and me into that holy space. Think about that. In context of what the Old Testament says about the temple, the tabernacle, don't you know that you yourselves are the temple and that the Spirit of God lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is sacred, and you are that temple. Paul uses the word, when he talks about temple, he uses the word noos, which is the very back part, the Holy of Holies of the temple, tabernacle. And he's saying, don't you understand now that what makes that temple special? What made that tabernacle holy? What made that place a special place? It was the presence of God covering. It was the presence of God inside of it. And Paul says, don't you understand? Now you are the temple. You are the residence of God. You are the place where God resides. He's in us. And there's a call then for holiness, isn't there? That's why we can't do what everybody else does. In this text, he's warning people. He says, listen, he says, there's only one foundation for the temple, and that is Jesus Christ. And you better be careful how you build on that foundation. He says, you want to build with very precious things. You want to build with things that will make it through a fire, he says, right? It's going to be tested by fire. We want our temple to be holy and right and in line with God. We're not going to build junk. It's not going to be just kind of a feel-good buddy-buddy temple. It's going to be a holy place, a holy space. It's going to be made up of people that are truly, honestly seeking God, God's presence in us. When we gather together and we worship the Lord and we praise Him and we call upon Him together, there's a sense of the presence of God in it, right? There better be a sense of the presence of God in it, or else this is no church. This is no temple. We are, that's what makes this the church. That's what makes this the temple. Is when we call upon the Lord and it's not that the Holy Spirit is coming from outside. It's that the Holy Spirit is in our hearts. The Holy Spirit is in us. And only as we lift up God together do we become the temple. By the way, you are the temple. That is not a singular you. That is a plural you. You are the temple. You are the temple. God cares about everyone who He's invested in, who He gave His Son for, who He put His Holy Spirit in. And He warns us, He says, whatever you do, don't tear the temple apart. You look around the room and you see somebody and, so-and-so did this or so-and-so. Don't do that, right? You know what I'm saying? Don't tear apart the temple. Build the temple up. Encourage the temple, right? I mean, we should, I want you in your place because you're a part of who we are. None of us are the temple by ourselves. It's only as we gather together. That's why, in our theology, we talk about the priesthood of all believers because we believe that God is in us all. And that it's only as we are together, it's only as we worship together, pray together, walk together, encourage one another, we are the temple of God. A holy space. An absolute holy space. A space that possesses, it's not in the physical form, right? You saw that they did it on Pentecost, but in the Old Testament, the cloud came down and said, now it's inside of us. Now it's that joy that when we get around the Word, it's that joy when we call upon Jesus. It's that presence of God in us, right? That's what makes us the temple of a living God. That's what, makes it so important that we care about each other. We build one another up. Just another place where he talks about us being the temple. And this is, this is not a unique thing. It's throughout. But he says, don't be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with you and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them. Be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So here you have this idea of, holiness. Remember we said the temple, the tabernacle, was holy space. You don't treat holy space like it's common space. Nadab and Abihu treated holy space like it was just another thing. He's talking about us here. We live in a world that doesn't share our values. They make righteousness look evil. They make doing the right thing seem wrong, right? So our values aren't shared in the world, that because God is in us, because we are the temple of the Lord. That makes us different. We don't have the same hopes that they have. They want to live here forever. They want to make this their permanent home. They cling to every breath of life like it's the only thing there is. We don't share the same hopes as the world does, right? We don't have the same purpose. Their purpose is to seek self-indulgence, self-importance, arrogance, pride. All those things come from what they seek. Their purpose in life is to be the biggest of best or whatever. We live differently. We're not supposed to be like them. That's why he says, don't be unequally yoked. We have to live with them. It doesn't mean we can't. It doesn't say don't know anybody in the world. It doesn't say that. Because if we did that, then there'd be no hope for the world at all. We still need to talk to people. We still need to share Christ with people, right? But yoked. You know what a yoke is? Like you have two ox, you put a one collar on two of them. If one is weak and one is strong, they go in a circle. They can't do anything. They can't go straight. That's unequally yoked. If they're both the same size, same strength, they pull at the same speed together so you can go straight, right? And he's saying part of being holy, part of being the temple of God is being yoked with brothers and sisters, being yoked with people that are going in the same direction, have the same strength, the same values, the same hopes, the same purposes in life. We pull each other along. You join yourself to somebody else, they're going to start pulling you sideways, and before you know it, you're going to forget who you were. Don't be unequally yoked. Part of being the temple, part of being that holy space is knowing that God has made us different. God makes us think different. He makes us, believe and have values that are different. He makes our hopes are different. Our purposes are different. Everything about us is different because Christ is in us, because the Spirit of God is in us, because the truth of God is in us. The Word of God that guides us, the Spirit of God that inspires us and gives us the strength that we need. The grace of God that keeps us, right? We those are the things we treasure, and those are things that lead us, where the world is led by very temporal and sad instances, because like at the end it all ends up gone. We are the temple of the Lord. Consequently, you're no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. That holy space, that holy place, that glorious space is you and me. Think of that. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you've done. That you've taken something so common, worthless clay, and you've turned it into the holy temple of God. But let's endeavor to keep it holy. Let's endeavor to do it right, to live it right, to hold to it right. Father, we thank you for your Spirit and your grace. We thank you for all that you give to us. And we pray, Father, that you will bless our hearts and minds. Bless us, Almighty God, to keep our holiness intact, as we're told many times in Scripture, be holy, for you are holy. Let us be that holy space, Almighty God, that you dwell in. Let us together be that place of celebration and power. Let us, Almighty God, see the difference, encourage one another, pull together in the name of Jesus. Bless us, Almighty God, we pray. Amen.